I'm gonna show you how great I am.
This was our finest hour.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Thus, while Shackleton was undeniably out of place, even inept, in a great many everyday situations, he had a talent, a genius even, that he shared with only a handful of men throughout history. Genuine leadership. He was, as one of his men put it, the greatest leader that ever came on God's earth, bar none. Hello, and welcome to How to Take Over the World. My name is Ben Wilson. That was a quote from Endurance by Alfred Lansing, and this is the Shackleton Guide to Taking Over the World. So I'm replacing my EndNotes episodes with these guides, where I just dive a little deeper on some of the lessons that I have learned and kind of put it in this list format. I'll also be doing EndNotes at the end of this episode. Those are my random thoughts, some of the interesting stories that were cut out of the main episode. But I heard from a number of you that really liked that Caesar guide episode, so I thought this is a framework that might offer a little more value to those of you who subscribe. This one is obviously hot on the heels of the main episode, and there's one key reason that I am releasing this so quickly. There was a hiccup in the technology of uploading the episode, and so many people who downloaded it, especially right as it came out, got a version of the episode that was only 19 minutes long, or sometimes only 1 minute long. The actual main Shackleton episode is 1 hour and 10 minutes. That has been fixed now, so you can go back in this feed and listen to the whole Ernest Shackleton episode, but you might need to delete the old episode or mark it as played and then download it again. I'm really sorry for any confusion. I'm working with my hosting provider to figure out what happened and how I can make sure this doesn't happen again. It was just a little technology hiccup. But yeah, I just wanted to make that announcement. Hopefully you got the main episode. And if you were like, wow, that cut off at a weird place and it was really short, that's why. Small technology issue. So go back, try again, and the full thing should be there now. This is a subscriber-only episode. Thank you to you beautiful people who pay me $7 a month and to the rest of you freeloaders. That's okay, I guess. You're going to get 10 minutes of this podcast and then it'll cut off and it'll be behind a paywall. Okay, so let's get into it. What is the Shackleton Guide to Taking Over the World? I broke this down into a number of steps or lessons. And the first one is learn from the greats. So Shackleton learned from the greats in a number of ways. So the first is he did an expedition with this other explorer named Scott before he ever did one on his own. And so he learned the mechanics of doing this kind of expedition under the tutelage of someone else before he led something like the Endurance expedition. He also learned kind of the nuts and bolts of this kind of thing by working in the Merchant Navy. And he had a full career, you know, he had a decade plus, nearly 2 decades before the events of our story. And I try to tell people this all the time. Taking over the world is really, really simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. It's as simple as identifying who you want to be and then following the path that they already set out. And so in Shackleton's case, you know, he did that both by studying from people who were living, who he could literally tutor under, like Scott, but he also studied biographies religiously. He read a book called The Naturalist on the River Amazons by Henry Walter Bates. So Bates was a great explorer from the previous generation before Shackleton. He also read Plutarch's Lives. And so he was obsessed with people, you know, like Caesar, like Alexander, some of the people that we talk about on this podcast. And so, you know, this is like something that the greats always do. They always learn from other greats. You know, sometimes people will be surprised when they learn that Charlie Munger, for example, you know, great, great investor, that he loves biographies and he's read hundreds of biographies. But when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, they always do this. People who achieve great things are always obsessed with biographies. And it's because it is this amazing hack. You can read through all these biographies and then you find someone that you really identify with and you want to be like. You have this feeling of, you feel supercharged by a certain story. And then you have a playbook and all you have to do is follow in their footsteps. All that's left is the execution. It really simplifies your path in life. So Shackleton followed that as well. He was obsessed with biography. He was obsessed with learning about the people that he wanted to be like. And so he learns all these lessons, and that comes into play, for example, when Shackleton decides, you know, we need to travel light instead of preparing for every eventuality. And he says explicitly that's because he had read the stories of many expeditions that had gone before, and he had seen that this was a pattern, that those who made it, those who succeeded, decided to travel light. And those who overprepared and were burdened down by too much gear generally failed. So step one on the Shackleton guide is learn from the greats. Okay, that's something that he definitely did. Step two is something called daring in design, cautious in execution. And this is actually not something that I came up with or Shackleton. This comes from the biography of Rockefeller. So that was kind of his formula for success. Daring in design, cautious in execution. So what does that mean? It means you're trying big, audacious, difficult things. You're very ambitious in that way. But in terms of the actual execution, you're not risk-taking. Okay, so risk-taking in what you do, cautious in how you do it. So it's this like weird dichotomy, right? In that in some ways you're very risk-taking, some ways you're very risk-averse. So listen to this passage about Shackleton. I quoted it in episode one. It says, quote, "Such was the plan on paper, and it was typical of Shackleton, purposeful, bold, and neat. He had not the slightest doubt that the expedition would achieve its goal. The whole undertaking was criticized in some circles as being too audacious, and perhaps it was. But if it hadn't been audacious, it wouldn't have been to Shackleton's liking. He was above all an explorer in the classic mold, utterly self-reliant, romantic, and just a little swashbuckling." Okay, so listen to the words there, you know? Daring, audacious, swashbuckling, all right? Now listen to this other quote that describes Shackleton. Quote, "Shackleton's aversion to tempting fate was well known. This attitude had earned for him the nickname Old Cautious or Cautious Jack." All right, like that seems like a total contradiction. Daring, audacious, and swashbuckling on one hand, and Old Cautious and Cautious Jack on the other. How can those two things go together? And it is this exact formula. Daring in design, cautious in execution. And I really think that is a key. It was a key for Shackleton, and it's key for anyone who achieves great things. You need to be daring and risk-taking in what you aim for, but in terms of actually how you do it and how you pull it off, you need to be very cautious, and you need to be very careful to mitigate your downside. Okay, so step two was daring in design, cautious in execution. Step three, I call this every man shall do his duty. So one of the things that I pulled out in the first episode was that one of the things that Shackleton relied on in order to keep his men motivated was just the basics of accomplishing the mission, doing their duty, setting up camp, you know, preparing the meals, practicing putting the boats in the water, like just doing the things. In many ways, he acted like nothing was different. Okay, we're not in the ship anymore. We're now out on the ice, but still I expect you to act like this is part of a ship crew and everyone is still going about the duties that they're expected to do. So here's a good quote on it. It says, "Nevertheless, there was a remarkable absence of discouragement. All the men were in a state of dazed fatigue and nobody paused to reflect on the terrible consequences of losing their ship. Nor were they upset by the fact that they were now camped on a piece of ice perhaps 6 feet thick. It was a haven compared with the nightmare of labor and uncertainty of the last few days on the Endurance. It was quite enough to be alive, and they were merely doing what they had to do. There was even a trace of mild exhilaration in their attitude. At least they had a clear-cut task ahead of them." Okay, so they had clear-cut tasks, they knew exactly what they had to do, and that was an antidote to discouragement. When I read this, it reminded me a lot of a story from the life of Horatio Nelson. So I think this might be like a uniquely British thing. The British are very good at this. So Horatio Nelson, British admiral, one of the greatest, probably the greatest British admiral of all time. And he wins this massive battle at Trafalgar. It's the Battle of Trafalgar. And it's, you know, bloody and it's long and it's arduous and difficult. It's hard fighting. And they win the battle against the French and the Spanish. And just as they win the battle, a storm begins to come up. And so, you know, we've been fighting all day. A bunch of men are dead. I'm probably wounded. And listen to what a Frenchman writes of what happens next after this battle that the British have won. Here's what the Frenchman writes. Quote, "The act that astonished me the most was when the action was over. It came on to blow a gale of wind, and the English immediately set to work to shorten sail and brief the topsails with as much regularity and order as if their ships had not been fighting a dreadful battle. We were all amazement, wondering what the English seamen could be made of. All our seamen were either drunk or disabled, and we, the officers, could not get any work out of them. We never witnessed any such clever maneuvers before, and I shall never forget them." Okay, so I think that's a really interesting parallel, and I think that's a really great key of effective leaders. Everyone is very clear on their job. Everyone is expected to do their duty despite any mitigating circumstances. You know, another way I would phrase this is be a professional, right? I just think of this type of behavior as very professional, right? Like when you're a professional, you do things the right way, you do them on time, like you keep discipline despite circumstances. And so I think that's one of the keys to the survival of the Endurance is that they were all professionals and they kept being professionals even when their ship is sinking and they're having to go between different ice flows. They were professionals. Okay, for all you non-subscribers, I'm going to cut it off there. If you'd like to hear the rest of the Shackleton Guide, then go ahead and subscribe at takeoverpod.supercast.com. And if you'd like to subscribe, but you are a student or for some other reason you are broke, make sure to shoot me an email at ben@takeoverpod.com and we'll get you taken care of. So for those of you tuning out now, thank you for listening to How to Take Over the World.